backgrounds to two letters. The two letters that we shall be studying are, of course, Galatians and James. What were the backgrounds to these? Galatians is a letter addressed by a missionary to a mission field in which he had worked with some success, much tribulation, many trials, and some joy. They were, the converts that he made in this area were a mixed batch, very independent, strong-willed, ready to go their own way. Paul revisited them, and later he wrote the epistle to try to emphasize truth and to correct errors. The epistle to James, on the other hand, written to the 12 tribes scattered abroad, was not addressed to Gentiles as Galatians, but to God's people. In fact, to God's family. He is the Lord's brother. He grew up close to Christ, disbelieving, resentful, hateful, tittle-tattling, angry, critical. But somewhere along the line, his little brother won him over, and the Spirit of God transformed his life. And he held an important place in the church and wrote his epistle. These two saw different approaches to the plan of salvation help us to focus on what is right. Taken in isolation, they can lead to wrong conclusions. Synthesized, they give the right middle-of-the-road approach to the plan of salvation. Galatians, as we have already noted, seems to stress faith. James seems to emphasize works. They both use Abraham as an illustration, and they are both essential to an understanding of the way salvation works within human personality. Part number one, Paul's first visit to Galatia. Called of God, commissioned by the church in Antioch, the intrepid missionaries go into a land of volatile pagans, worshippers of false gods. Galatia is the central part of Asia Minor, modern Turkey. And as Luke tells the story, he focuses mainly on what happened in Derbe and Lystra. A cripple is healed. The multitude is so overjoyed that they believe Paul and Barnabas are the incarnation of gods. They are ready to garland them and offer sacrifices and worship them as a manifestation of deity. Paul and Barnabas, heartbroken, repudiate any claim to deity. Pretty soon, the crowd changes. Paul and Barnabas are dragged out of the city, and Paul is apparently stoned to death and left to die. From love, adoration, worship, the fickle people turn to hate, vengeance, murder. But a few believers are left, and a church is organized in Galatia. Part number two. Sometime later, on his second missionary journey, Paul and his companion come again to Derbe and Lystra. There they begin to look up the addresses of those who before had been members. There, to Paul's joy, he finds a young man, a youth, by the name of Timothy. Where he had been in the stoning previously, we are not told. He was a half Greek, a half Jew. He accepted, and Paul decided that for the best good of the cause, Timothy should be circumcised. And as they went on their way in part number 3, the missionaries were forbidden to go into northern Galatia. For some reasons, factors arose, and they are not identified. The Spirit was nudging Paul and Silas to go westward. The wind blows where it lists, and the sails of their ship of life were being driven to Troas. There Paul was sick. And as Sir William Ramsay suggested more than 100 years ago, there was a scenario something like this. In Troas, he looked up a physician, was directed to Luke, the Greek, the Macedonian. The chemistry was right. Patient and doctor became good friends. The patient taught the doctor the plan of salvation. Luke immediately thought of his home and his kinsmen, his friends, who should also have the gospel. Talked to Paul about it. That night, Paul was so thrilled that God gave him a vision. Man of Macedonia, perhaps Luke himself, come over, help us. And the Spirit that had driven the ship across the wilds of Galatia and western Asia Minor to the port of Troas was ready to blow the ship all the way into Europe to begin something new. Part number 4. Letter to the Galatians. See what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. The reason, of course, was that he couldn't see. He was growing blind. And in order to write, since his amanuensis had written most of it, he finished up with the largest letters that he could read. And there he tells them of his feelings. He reminds them that when he had been with them first, they had loved him so much that they could have given him their eyes, knowing that he was only partially able to see. Now, why had he become their enemy? And so he deals with them as a pastor who reminds them of relationships that now they had allowed Satan to fracture. The experiences he gained in Galatia, the lessons that he had learned there, served him well when he went back to the Council of Jerusalem and took back with him to Galatia through this letter the right emphasis that Christianity must make. Some Judaizers had come to Galatia and had told them, unless you become a Jew, you cannot be a Christian. Now there are some missionaries today who argue the same way. Unless their converts dress like Europeans, they're not really Christians. Unless they eat like Europeans or Americans, they're not really Christians. But there are some things that don't matter. It doesn't matter if you eat with your hands or a chopstick. You don't have to eat with a knife and fork or a spoon to be a Christian. You don't have to dress the way Westerners dress to be a Christian. Sometimes culture overflows in missionary zeal. And these Judaizers were taking Hebrew culture and trying to fit it onto the pagan Galatian Christians. It's not culture, it's not institutions, it's not local laws. Truth is the only thing that really matters. Truth in Christ. and the moribund Jewish system following Calvary and the consummation of the ritual law, all of which pointed to Jesus Christ and was fulfilled in Him, had no more bearing on Christianity. Paul needed to correct this, and his letter did this. Part number 5, James to the 12 tribes. Now, Paul's letter was to erstwhile pagans. James is to Jews, to Christians who were erstwhile Hebrews, and to some Hebrews who had not accepted Christianity. James was the brother of Jesus. Among his relatives, he fought, he persecuted, he didn't believe, but Jesus loved him and helped him to change his life. As he writes to the 12 tribes scattered abroad, one of his major emphases is hold your tongue. Don't speak. Another emphasis is don't judge by appearances. And the third emphasis is don't get angry. These three areas, problem areas, were his own. He had judged the little boy that came into his father's home via Mary, whose morality he doubted. He judged by appearances. He had allowed his tongue to set on fire the course of nature. And he had grown. James is a very practical person. He's interested in what you do, how you treat strangers, how you treat those whom you do not know, how you deal with war and fighting, how you deal with wealth and poverty. What you do is what interested James. What you believed and how you related to principles and philosophies is what interested Paul. And so you see the comparisons and contrasts between these two epistles, into which we will delve in some detail later this quarter. Part number 6, focus of the week. We have thought here of a transformed persecutor, Paul, called of God, surrendering to God, commissioned by God, taking the everlasting gospel wherever God led him. We also see fickle Galatians, one day worshipping Paul, the next moment stoning him to death in disgust. But God loving, God working, revealing His truth, finding in that milieu such a youth as Timothy, whom He later used so powerfully. We also see a converted James, part of the family, a relative of Christ, yet fighting, angry, criticizing. And in the second chapter of Galatians, we see the fickle Peter. One thing before the Judaizers, another thing before the heathen converted to Christianity. And so as we look at the backgrounds of this letter, we see an emphasis on the need for consistency, for the studying of the bases of conduct. How should one act? How should one relate to God, to the plan of salvation, to God's people, to new converts, to pagans, to Jews, to members of the family of Christ? What should we do? And one letter, live by faith. And the other letter, let your faith be shown in good works. And remember that good works sometimes are even more important. But the need for these two to get together, faith, belief, acts, works, all in balance, all motivated by the love of God, all seeking to bless humanity, and all seeking to glorify heaven. This balance is true Christianity.